Hey, 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 what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here, flying solo this evening, and it is almost the middle of October right now, and fall is in full swing, starting to see some foliage on the trees, and the weather's starting to get a little chilly, a little bit, and we're starting to think of things like Halloween. And this just in, checking out the City of Bloomington government Facebook page. Due to the pandemic, the City of Bloomington is following the Monroe County Health Department's recommendation for trick-or-treating, and the post goes on to recommend that while indoors and trick-or-treating, that you wear a mask. I'm not kidding. This is on the City of Bloomington Office of the Mayor's website. Thank you so much, government. Appreciate you earning your keep. All right, let's take a look back at this week in history. October the 4th. 1883. That was the very first run of the Orient Express. Of course, that was a landmark railway that ran from Paris to Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. On October the 5th, 1970, PBS was founded. Of course, that's the Public Broadcast Service. On October the 6th, all the way back in 1927, the very first talkie movie. That's the first movie with voice that was added was The Jazz Singer, and that opened up. On October the 7th in 1996, the Fox News Channel began broadcasting. And October the 8th, 1956, the New York Yankees were in the World Series, and their pitcher Don Larsen pitched a perfect game, and that was and still is the only time that has happened in history. And our celebrity birthday today, turning 78 years old, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. Of course, he was a legend on Saturday Night Live and went on to perform in so many more movies and television shows, and he did a lot of screenwriting as well. So happy birthday, Chevy Chase. Today on the show, we welcome City of Bloomington Deputy Fire Chief Jamie Washell. And our community update today is brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon. But first, your local news headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance and investments. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, online at asbofindiana.com. Now here's what's happening. In an important win for the separation of powers, the Marion Superior Court ruled late Thursday that the Indiana General Assembly may provide by law for a legislative session to commence if the governor declares a statewide emergency. In its order, the court upheld the statute known as HEA 1123, enacted during this past legislative session in Indiana, and it was challenged in court by Indiana Governor Holcomb. Indiana Attorney General Rokita stated, quote, "This is a huge win for the people of Indiana, and permits their voices to be heard through their legislators when the governor invokes his own emergency powers," end quote. 27-year-old Muhammad Abu Runman is facing charges for battery, criminal confinement, intimidation, and interference, reporting a crime after one of his employees at the Steak City Fish and Chicken restaurant in Muncie reported to police that he forced her into a freezer for refusing to marry his brother so he could obtain a green card. Runman allegedly grabbed her and kicked her legs, placed her in the walk-in freezer for 20 minutes, and then took her phone so she couldn't contact authorities. The woman said she later spoke to the manager about the incident and was advised not to contact the police. The manager is also accused of withholding her paycheck if she called the police. Police say the woman had visible bruises on her arms and right leg. The woman claimed that this is not the first physically abusive incident she has endured at the hands of Runman. Another housing development proposal has been shot down by Monroe County commissioners last week. They ignored the recommendations of their own planning department and rejected the proposed development of 44 acres on Bloomington's south side, a 125 housing development off of Victor Pike adjacent to the Clear Creek Walking Trail was proposed by Donnie Atkins and Kevin Schmidt to build middle-income homes during a shortfall of available housing. It should be noted that although the hearing included testimony from local real estate agent experts, One commissioner denied the existence of the housing shortage because a contact of hers, quote, found a home on the site Zillow for $135,000. Exodus Refugee, an Indianapolis-based resettlement organization helping refugees become established in Indiana, announced that Bloomington has been federally approved by the Department of the State as a resettlement site. With the news, it is anticipated that Bloomington will play host to as many as 300 Afghan refugees coming from federal refugee campsite at Fort Atterbury. Prior to settlement efforts, such help will be provided as education needs and assistance with citizen testing. Refugees must go through medical testing as well and the administration of vaccinations. A week ago, an unnamed 14-year-old student at Bloomington High School South brought a gun to school. Although the weapon was never used in a threatening manner, school staff were able to take possession of the gun and refer the matter to the Bloomington Police Department, who in turn referred the case to juvenile detention for the charge of possessing a firearm on school property. School principal Mark Fletcher emailed parents alerting them of the situation. The Indiana Family and Social Services Administration announced the new Build, Learn, Grow stabilization grants intended to support child care, early care and education, and out-of-school time programs that have faced increased costs and challenges brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Funds will be distributed across at least two grant rounds, with the first round covering 3 months of providers' operating expenses, allowing them to stabilize their operations and invest in their businesses to build capacity for the future. Find out more at brighterfuturesindiana.org. And today will be the last day for a pop-up COVID testing site Saturday, October the 9th at Ellettsville Christian Church. It will be hosting a pop-up COVID site and vaccination clinic for those interested. Testing options include PCR and rapid, while vaccination options include those manufactured by Pfizer as well as those made by Johnson & Johnson. Facility is located at 731 East Independence Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. And those are your local headlines.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com. Welcome back. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Skip Daly here. Our community update is brought to us by the world-famous, family-friendly Porthole and the Gem of Lake Lemon. The Porthole features amazing food and outdoor live music, including every other Tuesday hosting the Bloomington Blues Jam while the weather permits. The Bloomington Urban Enterprise Association and the Bloomington Arts Commission are seeking applications for funding to foster the arts and cultivate cultural experiences. Artists, nonprofit organizations, and businesses in the arts and cultural sector may apply for funds at bloomington.in.gov/arts/grants. Completed applications are due Friday, October the 29th. And our guest this week, returning to the show after a pretty long absence, is the Deputy Fire Chief of the City of Bloomington, Jamie Washell. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Skip. Thanks for having me back on, and has been too long, but we kind of had a little bit of a hiccup in 2020, and a lot of us didn't get together and talk as much as I think everybody would like. And hopefully we're getting past that. So,
yeah. It seems like things are on the mend. Of course, there's some fluctuation here and there, but I think overall the world is ready and seemingly getting back to quote unquote normal. How are you and the family?
We're doing great. This January, we'll start my 22nd year at the Bloomington Fire Department. And my dad, I was lucky enough to work with him for 8 years, and he put 33 years in at the Bloomington Fire Department, and his dad did before him as well. My wife has been a nurse now for a little over 25 years. She was a school teacher before that. My daughter now is a sophomore at Butler, getting enrolled in the physician's assistant program and cheerleads there. So my wife and I are up almost every weekend watching her cheer and watching football with Scott Bless, his boy Charlie Bless, the Bloomington North head football coach. His boy Charlie plays football there. So we get to watch Charlie. So that's nice too.
Now, talking about football, you played football. You played college ball. You were up on the line up for the Boilermakers, weren't you?
Yeah, back in 1992, it seems like a whole lifetime ago, I was lucky enough to get a scholarship at Purdue as a defensive end. And over the course of 4 years, I ate my way down to the nose guard position, started at 245 pounds and eventually left there at 305 and left just enough food for everybody else. But yeah, I did. And I was lucky enough to go on, and I played 4 years after college football as well. So
you've had 22 years in now, and this last year has been pretty challenging. Of course, we've had the health emergency, but above and beyond that, recently, Downtown Station was a flood victim, and your station, your head station down there, right there on 4th Street, flooded. Why don't you talk to us about exactly where you are now and how that setup is working and what the timeline is like moving forward?
Yeah, so I believe it was late June. We had a flood here in downtown Bloomington, especially. I think everybody that's local will remember that. But I believe it was the third largest rainfall in a matter of 7 hours or so since 1896. So a lot of folks don't realize that. And the infrastructure that we had there at the local fire station at 300 East 4th Street downtown at our fire headquarters. I received a call, multiple calls in the morning, and came to look at that. But we had cars in the parking lot that were moving around, hitting each other. We had about a foot and a half of water inside the main ground level of the station. And we of course, we had a lot of responses. I believe we ended up having somewhere around 17 local folks downtown that we were able to rescue or put into a dry place. But in the midst of all of that, while responding to those runs, and I think we had about 67 calls that in about a 10-hour period that night. And in the midst of that, we suffered our own major flood and flooding. We had over 9 feet of water in our basement. And what ended up happening is our generator shut down. We had a tremendous amount of damage done to the tune of over $500,000 just in the superficial sense. One of the things that came about was we had to move stations because of our communications equipment was completely ruined. Our station alerting. So we had, I think, about a day and a half where we were on our radios receiving calls. We have mobile data terminals, which are computers in our rigs. The problem was we didn't have, you know, a lot of the connectivity. We had started having connectivity issues, and it just wasn't going to work out in the long run. And we kind of saw that pretty early on. So we have a ladder company at the headquarters fire station. We house our administration, which is about 6 of us. And then we have approximately 15 firefighters on duty every day at that station. One was a ladder truck, and then one was an engine company. A ladder truck does search and rescue in lay terms. An engine company does EMS, and they put out fires. And then we had a squad who does a lot of primarily EMS calls. And then we had a battalion, so a commander, a fire commander for that battalion. We have an A shift, a B shift, and a C shift. So we have three fire commanders that run battalions of 34 personnel. We all had to be moved fairly quickly because we had some mold issues and some other things. We moved to the Bunger Robertson Law Building, which is located at 209 South College Avenue, which is in the footprint of expansion for the new convention center. And so the city and the redevelopment committee commission own that building and were nice enough to put us in there. But when I talk to fire chiefs around the country, really anybody that has ever had any experience with this and making a law of us a fire headquarters, and people look at me like, you know, what are you talking about? There's no way you can do that. Our folks did an amazing job adapting. It's not something that I thought in my career I would see anything like that going forward. But we ended up making a temporary bay for a fire engine. We're not able to house the ladder company, so we moved both of our ladder companies, one to the east part of town, one to the west part of town in Station 4 and Station 2, respectively, to help us to complement and really to make our fire service delivery efficient and effective. I won't say that we didn't miss a beat, because that would be an impossible feat, but we did what we could and we made it work, and we're still making it work. We were able to get station alerting in our new law office building. We put our administrative folks there, which is, it's actually very, very conducive for fire administration with the offices and the communications equipment that we have. But that was no small feat, and really to the tune of probably close to $200,000 of money that we had to put in to that. Of course, we're still dealing now with some mold issues at that fire station. So it's not healthy for our firefighters to return. And until we have that answer back, right now we're gonna stick with where we're at. But I would assume no less than 12 calendar months, I think, before we would be able to move back. We had planned a major renovation for that fire station, which was in the seven figures, about $3 million, because it was built in 1990 for service in 1991. And most people don't realize this, but most fire stations are built for 50 years of service. And really, we're in the middle of the street, so to speak, the fork, in other words. And we have to make a decision, I think. And that's exactly what we're doing. We met with city administration. Police department had a similar issue with theirs, although we respond out of our station, whereas they're more mobile, but it still is affected somewhat of their operations as well as it did ours. But we have the detective division above us on the second floor now. So they have a place to, you know, do their paperwork, are able to sit in a desk and a seat and do the things that they normally were able to do. Like I said, in my, you know, 22 years my family's been on here at the Bloomington Fire Department, at least on duty at some point in the last 80 years. And no way could we have ever predicted this. But in somewhat of a good turn of luck, the Jordan River goes really close to both of those, the fire headquarters and also the police headquarters. And I don't know that we could have done, they're working on that right now. You know, if you remember the Big Dig, they're doing some major work. And the Jordan River just happens to run right next to both of those stations. Not ideal by any means, but that's something I think that everybody going forward is you know, a little bit concerned about. I know that we are looking at possible new venues, new locations, and what that's going to look like. I'm not sure, but I think in the next probably 4 months or so, maybe five, I think we'll have a better picture of what that looks like going forward. And of course, everything is a little bit complicated with the prospect of annexation as well. So it's one of those things that we have to take into account as public safety officials to figure out what's the best way to serve everybody in Monroe County and the city limits as well. So
we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about fire safety. The entire month of October is fire safety month.
Most people think of it that way, but it's actually October 3rd through the 9th, and I can kind of go through why we commemorate that month.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to What's Happening right here on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com. And we're back. You're listening to What's Happening right here on the South Central Indiana News Network. And our guest this week, Deputy Fire Chief of the City of Bloomington, Jamie Washell. Now, we were talking a lot about how the department has had to transition to a temporary location and the decisions that you're going to be making moving forward on whether to build new or to renovate your fire station that was destroyed in the flood back in June. But let's move on. Let's shift to Fire Prevention Week, which is right now. We're catching the tail end of it, but hopefully you guys have been out there in the community and talking some stuff up, and we want to know what it is that you guys have done and what can our listeners do to be more aware and to be better stewards to protect themselves from fire.
And that's a great question. And a lot of folks, just a quick history lesson, the Fire Prevention Week is to commemorate the great Chicago fire of 1871, which started on October 8th and ran through really October 10th and destroyed over 17,000, nearly 18,000 structures. And because of that fire since 1922, and this is the longest public safety observance week of anything in the United States, it lasts all week. And it literally changed fire codes in the United States. And if you go to Chicago, you can see some of the old Chicago that didn't burn down, and you can see the other buildings. And what it did was change building codes and the way we built structures ever since then. So, and Chicago is a great visual of what that is. But what we do as firefighters in the fire department across the country, and we really try to hammer home here with our folks here, is we try to get with the youth of the community. And so we do a lot of, awareness of if you find matches, what should you do? You know, you tell, you know, an adult, that, you know, you have those. And we talk a little bit about smoke detectors. And oftentimes we'll say, when's the last time you saw your parents change smoke detectors? And it's almost never, you know. So they tell their parents a little bit, but we generally try to, in the spring and the fall, change your smoke detectors and then have a plan. The best thing that I can tell folks from being a firefighter and literally seeing it with my own eyes is when you go to bed, shut your door. Shutting your door is a barrier for fire. And you wouldn't believe, and I've been in structure fires where someone had their door closed and you go in there and it's not perfect, but you wouldn't believe the difference where you have so much destruction on the outside of that door. And when you open the door, the room looks almost intact. So that's your best chance of surviving a fire. Fire can spread very quickly. And we talk a lot about that. And our folks go around to the local schools. COVID has a lot of the, you know, with the mask mandates and some things have made it difficult to go into classrooms, but the weather is generally pretty favorable in October around here. And So we like to get the kids outside and show them the fire trucks and just kind of talk a little bit about it. Let them know that, you know, you can see Jamie the firefighter and I'm in, you know, my blue shirt and that sort of thing. But if Jamie the firefighter comes to your house on a fire, I'm going to look a lot different. I'm going to have a mask and breathing apparatus. Some scare some kids, you know, younger kids. So we try to adapt them and let them know that, you know, we're there to help them, those types of things. So really, Fire Prevention Week for us is just raising awareness and kind of raising awareness in the community of what we do as firefighters as well. So a lot of folks think we just do fires, but we talk about, you know, emergency medical calls and things like that as well.
One other thing in terms of fire prevention is dryers. They're one of the most dangerous appliances in the house. So definitely I recommend folks make sure they empty their lint trap and check the outdoor vent at least once a year on that. That stuff catches real quickly.
And you're right. It's those things are tidying up. Being clean around your house is not a bad thing.
Well, all right. Let's talk a little bit. We've got a few minutes left. The City of Bloomington Fire Department has been honored and you guys have earned a distinction that really sets you apart from any other fire departments in the state of Indiana and probably right up there along the creme de la creme across the nation. Why don't you go ahead and talk to us about that distinction real quick and the honor that you'll be receiving here over the next couple of weeks.
Well, the honor is and the distinction is from the ISO, which is Insurance Service Office. And you can think of it as a golf score. The lowest is the best for your community for risk reduction. It assesses risk. It assesses water supply. It's really a citywide award when you start thinking about it. The fire department's about 40 to 50% of that. We are an ISO 1. We just, when I first took over, we were all nearly a 4. We've worked really hard over the last 4 years to get that. It affects directly commercial insurance, industrial insurance rates, and a lot of insurance companies around the country will set residential fire rates and insurance rates because of that as they look at the ISO risk reductions. We're in the 0.5% of all departments in the nation. There are only 3 other departments. They're all located around Marion County. We're the only south of Marion County. We're the only department other than Marion County that has that distinction. So we're real proud of it. We're going to do a presentation. The national accreditation of the ISO services is coming down to present us an award. We're going to put the placards on our trucks to let everybody know here in the city that they're well protected for that risk of a fire. It's on October 15th at 10 a.m. at Switchyard Park, the pavilion, and starts at 10 a.m. So we're real proud of that.
One more time, tell us the event that's going on for celebration.
Yeah, the celebration will be the National Office of ISO will be presenting an award to the City of Bloomington. And that will occur at Switchyard Park in the pavilion. So it'll be outdoors. It'll be at 1601 South Rogers, if you don't know where that area is. It's at 10 a.m. and it's Friday, October 15th. And we would love to see folks come out, learn a little bit more about it and what we do. Everybody around here, the city area in Monroe County should really be proud because I think we have a terrific and excellent fire department and fire service delivery system here.
All right. We've got just about 30, 40 seconds left. Go ahead and tell the community anything you'd like to share.
Well, a lot of folks probably don't know this, but we do cover Indiana University as well. But one of the things I think that we're real excited about is tremendous support from the public safety local income tax. Since 2016, we've replaced all of our frontline fire apparatus, including ladder trucks, all our administrative vehicles, and to the tune of about $11 million. You can't believe the difference, our technology and our response. And just we're really thankful for the community to rally around us and give us the support that I think a lot of our folks really are happy about it. We just couldn't be more proud to serve this community. So,
well, Deputy Chief, thank you so much for being here on the show. But more importantly, thank you for what you do. Thank you to all of the men and women that are serving in the fire department. And thanks to their families for putting up with the lifestyle of service. It's very important. And we as a society probably don't thank you enough. So On behalf of our listeners, thank you.
Thank you, Skip. I really appreciate you having me on here. And again, we're really happy with all the support from the community.
We'd also like to thank our friends over at the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update. And on behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us Fridays as we keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.